You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Alrighty, well, we're going to be reviewing the election today, and I began by speaking to Bryce Edwards, political commentator Bryce Edwards, just about what he thought of the results, which way he thinks Winston Peters will go. Why is National so popular still? MMP, was it a bad election for MMP? The Māori Party's demise? Just so much to get through, and I spoke to him about it all, so here we go.
The election results were pretty much as the polls expected. The big surprise was the Māori Party not winning Wairiki, and that has made a big difference to New Zealand's political system, not having the Māori Party there any longer. I don't think they were kind of living up to their potential anyhow, and although there's a lot of people that are expressing sorrow in the Māori Party's demise, I think it's a wee bit odd because they weren't that appreciated while they were there. So, I mean, I also think it's sad to have any political party leave Parliament because, you know, you do want some diversity there, and it is a shame to have now really down to four parties. But the result as a whole, yeah, it's exactly what we expected, really, with no single party being able to govern by themselves as expected, and with, yeah, just this situation of Winston Peters in this deciding role with this balance of power, and we're facing, you know, a few weeks of decision-making, and I think that's absolutely fine. There's nothing particularly to worry about. It looks like Winston Peters is going to, deal with it in the next maybe 14, 16 days and come up with a decision. What I have been a bit disappointed by is the media coverage suggesting that National's in the box seat, that it's more likely that we're going to have a National-led government, that Winston Peters will choose to go with National. I mean, it might well be the case, but for every argument that people can put up for National having more chance of pulling together a coalition, I think there's equal arguments from about the left being ahead. So although on election night the political left seemed quite despondent and thought this was a bad result, I didn't think it was bad for the left. Certainly Labour's result was lower than we were expecting, but it's the same situation that Labour and the Greens is going to be a relatively similar amount of seats in the House to National. I'm projecting that we will have National on 56 seats and Labour Greens on 54 seats. And we just have to keep remembering that, you know, that this is MMP and you do need that majority. And National, yes, they have done very well, but without anything more than 56 seats, they should be reliant on Winston Peters, and that's fair enough.
So let's discuss a few of the things you've just mentioned. Firstly, National are now, you know, they've done three terms. Why is it that they're still so popular in polling in the mid to high 40s? You'd think by now people would be sick of them.
Yeah, I mean, what National have done is they've collapsed all the centre-right vote into their one party. So, anyone that is, right of centre, now they just votes for the one party, whereas for centre-left people, they're dividing their votes with Labour and the Greens, maybe even with some other parties like Mana, maybe even, it's hard to work out who's voting exactly for the Māori Party and Top, but has been a government that, regardless of what we might think of reality is about how well National has dealt with some of the key issues of housing affordability, inequality, poverty, health and education, they've managed to convince enough people that they're doing enough. So there's a lot of people, I think, on the soft right that are concerned about those issues, but have somehow been convinced by, especially Bill English, that National does care about poverty, it does care about these housing issues, and that Labour, it hasn't really differentiated itself strongly enough and been convincing that it's got a really strong housing policy, for example, that will bring down house prices more than National. So essentially, Bill English has been quite convincing for enough people on these issues that matter, which might have traditionally favoured the left. I mean, these are left-wing issues, essentially, housing, health, education, inequality. Yet, for some reason, the right have managed to learn the language of that works on these issues and have been convincing. So that's it, really.
Now, looking at Labor's campaign, was it a success or do you think they could have done better?
Oh, I think it was an incredible success, Labor's campaign. They, under Jacinda Ardern, they have increased their vote by 50% or more. So, we still have to see that it's a pretty successful campaign, going from the early low 20s in opinion polls up to the mid to high 30s. And I do think Labor will have about 7% in the final count. So, yeah, pretty successful. I mean, it had flaws, and I'm still not convinced that Labor differentiated themselves enough from National and that they provided enough of a kind of bold and, definitive approach to some of these issues. They still seemed a bit vague, especially on tax. And, I thought it was very disappointing after 9 years in opposition. Labor does have such a vague and bland tax policy, because they did identify tax as an important issue and kept on talking about the urgent need to fix up the tax system, which I think they're quite right about, and how it was leading to all sorts of perverse outcomes and inequalities. But then in the end, they campaigned on having no change on tax for the next 4 years. So, and of course, they snookered themselves on that with National, questioning some of those issues. So they did have weaknesses.
Now, moving to the Green Party, they're back in Parliament, obviously, but they've lost a lot of support. Was their campaign a failure?
Oh, you have to say it's a failure in an overall sense, because they have just clung on with that 6%, which might go up to a bit higher in the final vote. And, the Greens have just looked like such a powerful force in politics for the last, 3, 6, 7 years. And then to end up on 6%, you have to see that as a big loss. James Shaw didn't do too badly, I think, in the last month or two, bit of stability. But they've got some big questions to face, I think, about their future and, whether they're going to change direction now, what their relationship is to Labor. And, they've got some great quality candidates that have made it into Parliament, and they have refreshed themselves. So there is potential there. But, obviously they've made some mistakes, and I think were overconfident at some stages, which forced them into errors.
Now, obviously, as you mentioned at the start, the biggest shock of the night was the demise of the Māori Party. What went wrong for them? I mean, Te Ororua Flavel's come out and essentially blamed a lot of the Māori voters for their demise.
Well, I always think it's a bad look when any party blames the voters. What the voters, he's right in identifying Māori voters as the ones that that put the Māori Party out of power. And it's certainly been the case that their number of votes have just declined ever since 2004. I mean, they had that peak in 2008, when they had, 5 MPs elected in the Murray seats, and that was incredible, and they really looked like they were the future for Murray politics. But it's just quite simple that I think that Murray politics is more, the Murray base is more to the left of the political spectrum. It is more correlated with lower socioeconomic voters, and that trying to be too independent of the left, trying to be therefore aligned in their own government, and taking this quite conservative strategy over the last 9 years of being just insistent of being at the table, they keep on talking about, with the government, with National, has obviously hurt them. And Māoridom has lost faith in that party, and I think rightly so. So I'm not one of the ones that is, being so sad about their demise. Like I said, it is unfortunate to have one less party in Parliament, but I blame the Māori Party themselves for that.
Now let's talk a bit about MMP. Do you think this election has been a failure for MMP? We're now down to 4 parties in Parliament.
Yeah, I'd be a wee bit careful before saying I blame MMP. Certainly, you know, there's going to be a lot of people blaming MMP at the moment because Winston Peters will be seen to have too much leverage, and there'll be this argument that, you know, if he goes with Labor, that will be illegitimate, and that, you know, there's something wrong with MMP if National aren't leading this government, because, yes, they got 47% or 46%. So, no, I still think MMP, by and large, is, you know, working very well. And, again, I don't think if National or National supporters are blaming MMP or blaming the voters, that's very impressive if that happens. So there has been problems with MMP right from the start that I think could be reformed, and that certainly, yeah, will be a greater topic of conversation, I think, over the next 3 years, particularly the threshold. So,
yeah, I was just going to mention. The threshold. Do you think it's too high?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I've always argued that the threshold is not just too high. I don't think there's a place for it at all. It's completely undemocratic. This idea that yes, you can have representation in Parliament, but only if you get this arbitrary number of 5%. If you're following democratic principles under proportional representation, you know, logic, if you have 2% of the support amongst the electors, you should have 2% of the parties or whatever. So I think we just should be making an argument for getting rid of it entirely and having you still have a threshold, of course, but it's, in my view, less of an arbitrary, artificial one. It's just the threshold of if 1% of voters vote for a party, which is relative, basically about 120,000 votes, you should have one MP. And it would just remove so many of the distortions that we're seeing in politics at the moment, and you would allow more parties to enter Parliament. And yes, that would make things slightly more colourful and more potentially chaotic and diverse, but I don't think that's something we should be afraid of. We are, you know, perfectly capable as a public to be able to deal with communists, the far right, Christians, or whoever that get into Parliament. In fact, you know, if you're talking about lunatics and worried about lunatics, I think there's enough in Parliament at the moment. It's just not an argument that I have any time for whatsoever, that we have to keep out extremists or lunatics. There's enough of them in there already.
Okay, just one final question. Whoever forms the next government, how stable will that government be? Do you think they can survive a full term?
Yeah, that's a good question, and ultimately, there will be more chance for this government to not go the full term, regardless of whether Peters goes with a National-led or a Labor-led coalition. Winston Peters, I think, is less reliable than some of the other parties, and he's got that track record of being less reliable. And there's no doubt that if you have a left bloc or a right bloc in government, that it's going to be more conducive to stability. So yes, if Labor and the Greens had enough to get them over the line and govern alone, or if National had got governed alone, yes, that would be more stable. But also, I just don't think we should worry too much about instability. Other countries deal with, you know, governments that don't go full term, and it's really not the end of democracy, the end of the earth. If, for example, government only went for 2 years, and then Winston Peters pulled it down. So what? Also, one of the things that hasn't actually been canvassed is what we've never had, is that, yes, Winston Peters could be in a government with National and could pull the plug on that, but just switch his support to Labor and the Greens, and then we could have a change of government. There's absolutely no reason that during a parliamentary term you can't actually have a change of government if the numbers are shift. You don't have to have a new election. So I think that you can have stability in terms of a governing arrangement even if the government changes and you don't have to have new elections.
To understand the distinction, Rewire.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.